ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. ఆప్యాయంతు మమాంగాని వాక్ ప్రాణశ్చక్షుశ్రోత్రం అతో బలమింద్రియాణి చ సర్వాణి సర్వం బ్రహ్మోపనిషదం మాహం బ్రహ్మ నిరాకుర్యాం మామా బ్రహ్మ నిరాకరోత్ అనిరాకరణం అస్తు అనిరాకరణం మే అస్తు తదాత్మని నిరతే యౌ ఉపనిషత్సు ధర్మాః తే మయి సంతు తే మయి సంతు. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సో వి హావ్ బీన్ సీయింగ్ ది థర్డ్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ చాందోగ్య ఉపనిషత్ విచ్ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ది స్వతంత్ర ఉపాసనాస్ ఆర్ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఉపాసనాస్ against the karmanga upasanas of the first two chapters. I hope by now you might remember what are these karmanga upasanas and all those. I am not going to refresh them. So it consists of 19 small sections, this chapter. And we saw the Surya upasana as Deva Madhu, the honey of the Devas, where the various layers of the sun were taken as various types of honey. The honeycomb, the honey cells, the eggs, the bee. The honey is compared to the karma palam and the various worlds one will enjoy based on the various upasanas. They were all given during those discussions. The four Vedas, the Vedokta karmas, all of them, and the palam, they were all discussed. And later on, the bhoktas of the madhu, the enjoyers of the Manu were given. The Prathama Madhu, the Bhokta of the Prathama Madhu, was the Vasus, Ashtavasus, then the Rudras, then the Adityas, the Maruts, and the Sadhyas. All this we have seen. See, the Upasaka also will become any one of them depending on the Upasana. And another incidental point that was also given was the sun never rises or sets. And we saw up to this, the third shloka of the 11th khanda, which we will read now, the Ekadasha khandaha. Atha tataha urdva udetya naiva udeta nastameta ekala eva madhyestata tadesha shlokaha. నవై త్రనలోచ నోదియాయ కదాచన దేవాస్తేన అహగుం సత్యేన మావిరాదిషి బ్రహ్మణేతి నహవా అస్మావుదేతి నలిం లోచతి సకృద్ధివాహైవ అస్మై భవతి యయే త్వామేవం బ్రహ్మోపనిషదం వేద. సో ది 11th సెక్షన్ first three shlokas. So as we said, indicated in the last webinar, the Upanishad does not talk about the upasana, ahangraha upasana. It talks about the palam only. The palam for ahangraha upasana is krama mukti. We now know what is krama mukti, ahangraha upasana and all that. That is after maranam. Krama mukti is after maranam. The upasaka will go to Brahma loka. And having gained the Aham Brahmasmi Jnanam in Brahma Loka, that person will attain Mukti. This is called Krama Mukti. And what is the indication of Mukti? Mukti is not a Loka. Liberation is not going to a Loka. That by that I mean like Vaikuntham or Kailasam. That is not Mukti. That must be clear. All other pleasures can be gained by going to different lokas. But mukti is not gained by going to any loka. Whereas the concept of jivan mukti is not accepted by other systems like Visishtadvaitam and all that. They don't accept the concept of jivan mukti, where they will go through the shukla gati to Vaikuntham, or if it is, you know, Shaivites, they will go to Kailasam, where they will be beyond time and space and all that. The moment a person says in Kailasam or in Vaikundam, that is also subject to limitation because it is in some space. Very important. Advaitam says that mukti is beyond all lokas. And since it is beyond all lokas, there we cannot talk about sunrise or sunset. Because previously we talked about different lokas. In one loka, Surya Udaya is in the east. Astamanam is in the west. In another, Udayam was in the west. Astamanam was in the east. Similarly, South Udayam, North Astamanam, North Udayam, South Astamanam, we saw all of them in the last webinar. In Mukti, where is Udaya or Astamanam? Na Udayaha, na Astamanam. And for this, Shankaracharya gives a nice reasoning also. This Upasaka has done what? He has done Ahangraha Upasana. Therefore, he has imagined Surya Devata in his Hridayam. Aham Rupena, Jivatma Rupena, Hridaye Surya Devata Asti. That is what he has imagined and done the Upasana. And therefore, for the Upasaka, Surya Devata is not outside. It is in his Hridayam, but in his Hridaya Akasha. So, Natu Bahya Akasha. Outside, it is not outside. So, since Surya Devata is in his Hridaya Akasha, permanently, there is no question of Udaya or Astamanam for Surya Devata. Similarly, in Brahman also, in Moksha also, there is no Udaya or no Astamana. That is why one jnani, it seems, he made a very beautiful statement, it seems. Someone asked him a question. Don't you do Sandhya Vandanam and all these karmas? How did you renounce all these karmas? So, jnana, karma, sannyasa, vidvat, sannyasa, how did you do? All those questions they asked. For that, the jnani answered, it seems, Pradas Sandhya can be done only during Suryodaya Kalam, the Sandhi Sthanam, between night and day. That is when Pradas Sandhya Vandanam is done. And in the evening, it is done during the Sandhi Sthanam between day and night. That is during Surya Astamana. Therefore, Sandhya Vandanam can be done only by that person who has Surya Udaya and Surya Astha Nirantaram Bhati. Is always effulgent. Udaya astamayau nastaha. This Chit Adityaha never rises nor sets. Katham sandhyam upasmahe. When that is the case, how can I do sandhya vandana karma? Therefore, I took sannyasa because I gave up all karmas. So here also, ataha atatataha. Tataha means thereafter. Atatataha, thereafter, urdvaha udetya naiva udetha. The sun goes to the upper sky, urdvam. Na udetha, na astametha. It never rises nor sets. Then what does it do? Madhye sthatha. It will ever remain in the middle. And since the Upanishad uses the word thereafter, atatataha, it indicates kramamukti, thereafter. Here alone we should remember that is from the Surya standpoint. There is neither rising nor setting. Actually, in the last webinar, there we talked about two slokas. Yair yatra drishyate bhaswan satesham udaya smritaha. Yaihi yatra drishyate bhaswan. Whoever sees the sun bhaswan in a particular place, Yair yatra drishyate, saha tesham udayaha smritaha. It is udayam for him. He thinks it is udayam for him. So if it is evening 7:30 p.m. for us in America, in the East Coast, it is udayam for those people in India. So it is not from sun's standpoint itself, that is from our standpoint. Then what is astamanam? Sthirobhavam cha yatra yeti. When the sun is not perceived, tadeva astamanam ravehe. Our non-perception, that is called astamana, ravehe, ravi surya. So it is not sun going away, sun does not go away. This is one sloka that we saw in the last class. And the other shloka is Naiva Astamanam Arkasya. Really speaking, sun does not set at all. Arka Sunya. Na Udayaha Sarvada Sataha. There is no rising also, Udayaha. Why? Because Sarvada Sataha. Sun always exists. Sataha. Then why do we use the term Surya, Udayam and Astamanam? Udaya Astamane Nama, Udayam and Astamanam are nothing but names. Darshana Darshane. Our perception and non-perception is only Udaya and Astamana, Darshana and Adarshana of Surya Devata. So from sun's standpoint, there is no Udayam nor Astamanam. That is what is said in the next shloka. Navai tatra na nimlocha na udiyaya kadachana. Tatra. Tatra refers to in mukti. There is neither Udayam nor Astamanam. The idea is what? When you are away from the sun and look at the sun as an object, you are within time of Udaya and Astamana. When you look at sun as an object. When you are actually in the sun, you don't have Udayam or Astamana. Similarly, when you are away from Atma and situated in Anatma world, you got Udaya and Astamana. So Jananam, Maranam, all those things happen. But from the Anatma, you come out and identify with Atma. So from Atma's standpoint, there is Naiva Maranam nor Janma. So if you identify with the body, there is Janma and Maranam. When you identify with Atma, there is no Janma or Maranam. Similarly, in place of Anatma, if you identify with earth, then you will have Udaya and Astamana. But if you identify with sun, there is no Udaya or Astamana. So, Navai Tatra Na Limlocha Na Udiyaya Kadachana. Okay. Then Shankaracharya says, this line is a statement given by the Upasaka. So, we have to put it in quotation. So the Upasaka says, it seems that in Mukti, there is no Udaya nor Astamana. And here alone, we talk to the about the Shastri, you know, who went to do Norway and all that. In the last class, I narrated that small story, when a Shastri from South India went to Norway, where the Meru is supposed to be there. So when he went to the Meru, Meru Yatra, he went to see the Meru. In Norway, that's what he founded, maybe according to scriptures, he has some proof. Where there was no Udaya or Astamana for 6 months, there is no Udayam or Astamanam. But generally, we don't believe it. There is always light. Actually, once I went to one of those Scandinavian countries. And then, my God, in the night, 2 or 3 o'clock, people were all, you know, they were jogging and all. Sun never sets there. It was there all. I had to close all the windows in the hotel. You know, I put all the curtains. I still could not sleep because it was very bright. Now only the world has become short and we are all able to believe it. But those days, it was, imagine 200 years ago. If you tell some person that in a particular part of earth, the sun never rises or sets, who would believe? No one will believe. Similarly, when the Upasaka says, Muktav, there is no time limitation in Mukti, or one is immortal, no one will believe all those things, it seems. Just as Udaya Astamana Abhava, people do not believe Janma Marana Abhava also. People do not believe. Who believes Moksha? Very, very difficult. Not many people believe. Many people don't believe in moksha. They want to go to that heaven and this heaven. No moksha. When I say permanent peace of mind, immediately what do we think? I don't think it is ever possible at all. Permanent freedom from raga dvesha can never be possible. Long time ago, there used to be a philosopher, Western philosopher called Bertrand Russell. He wrote a book called Is Happiness Still Possible? That is what we will be questioning all the time. Nobody is going to believe in Mukti and all. Therefore, the Upasaka says, Devaha, O gods, you are the Sakshi, you are the witness. Keeping you as the Sakshi, I make this statement. Aham Satyena truthfully. And because of this truthfulness, ma viradishi brahmana, may I not be away from Brahman by speaking untruth. By speaking untruth, I will be away from Brahman. So, I say it truthfully. So, let my words be truthful. If it is false, I would be away from Brahman. So, let me be one with Brahman. The essence is what? In mukti, one is desha kala atitaha. He is beyond space and time. And in the next mantra, he says, nahava asmai udeti na nimlochati sakradiva haiva. So, for this upasaka also, he will become one with Suryaha and he will attain Brahmanhood. And he will also only, one day, he will have only one day. Actually, the Sakrit Diva means the continuous day only. He will have only day, continuous day, without any night, nightless day. He will have always, he will come to. We take this symbolically also. Because we are in earth, our days are mixed with day and night. Day means ananda, night means gloom. So sometimes we smile, afterwards gloom becomes the bright face, bloom. So Suryodaya and gloomy face, Suryastamana. That's what we go through all the time. For the Upasaka, who does Upasana like this, nightless day means permanently blooming face. Swamiji says not gloomy face, but blooming face. Never gloomy, but ever blooming. That is the Upasana Phalam. That is the Krama Mukti. Let us now continue with the next section. Tadvaitat Brahma Prajapataya Uvacha Prajapatir Manave Manu Prajabhyaha Tattaidat Uddhalakaya Arunaye Jeshtaya Putraya Pita Brahma Provacha Idam Vavatta Jeshtaya Putraya Pita Brahma Prabhruyat Pranayaya Va Antevasine Nanyasmai Kasmai Chanam Yadyapyasma Imamadbhiparigrihitam Dhanasya Purnam Dadhyat Eta Devatato Bhuya Iti Eta Devatato Bhuya Iti. This is the Upasana Stutihi, the glorification of this Upasana. And here the Upasana is called the Brahmopanishad. Here Brahma, Brahma Upasana it is, Brahma is Veda. Here, not the Chaturmukha Brahma or the Satyamyanamananda Brahma. Brahma here, Veda. And Upanishad means Rahasyam here. Peculiar meaning. In Vedanta, many times in this text, the meaning will be very, very peculiar. Unless we have commentators, it's impossible for us to understand here. Upanishad here means Rahasyam, Guhyam. So, Brahma Upanishad means Veda Rahasyam. The secret teaching of the Vedas. And what is that secret teaching? The Surya Abheda Upasana only. So, Madhu Vidya also is included and also this Surya Abheda Upasana both. And how does the Upanishad glorify this? By saying that it has been followed by generations. Therefore, evam parampara praptam. It is not just only in this occasion. It has been followed by generations. Brahma Prajapataye. Brahmaji taught this to Prajapati. Prajapatir Manave. Prajapati taught this to Manu. And Manu Prajabhyaha. Manu to all the Manavaha. All the humans. And in this parampara, there was a great Rishi. His name is called Aruna Rishi. Name of the Rishi is Aruna Rishi. He had a son called Uddalaka Arunihi. Uddalaka Aruni is the name of the son. And what son? Jeshtaya Putraya, he is the eldest son of this Aruna Rishi. So, thus it has been coming down from Brahmaji up to Uddalaka Aruni. And therefore, it is a great Upasana. And therefore, idam vava tad jeshtaya putraya pita brahma prabhruyat pranayaya va ante vasine. Here also Brahma means Veda. And so Veda, so the Upanishad tells that these upasanas, they should be taught to either to a dearest Shishya, disciple, or to the dearest son. Don't teach to anyone else and everyone else. So Jeshtaya Putraya, either to the eldest son. Pranayaya va, Pranayaya Antevasine. He's a very obedient student, humble student. Because all these upasanas are based on what? Shraddha, faith. Without the proper attitude, one cannot understand and may even look down upon the upasana. It will give rise to totally different results. So if one does not have Shraddha, the faith, Guru Vedanta Vakyadishum Vishwasahat Shraddha. That is how Acharya defined Shraddha. Whatever the teacher teaches, there should be this unconditional faith to have faith in them and follow them. So if one does not have that Shraddha, never introduce this upasana to those people. That's what Asishyaya Nadeyam. If a person is not fit to be a student, do not give these upasanas to them. Veda tells very clearly. Otherwise, it will not do good to them. It may even do harm to them. Therefore, na anyasmai kasmai chana. Do not tell anyone and everyone, anyasmai kasmai. On the street, the guy who is on, don't put him in a Vedanta class and try to teach all this to him. If he is willing to give a big Guru Dakshina also, that is what is said here. Adbihi parigrihitam dhanasya purnam dadyat. These are all not what I am telling. Upanishad says, even if a person gives the entire earth, adbihi parigrihitam, adbihi, that means surrounded by the ocean, the entire earth, that means all the way up to the limit of the earth, along with all its wealth, under the earth and over the earth, whatever he gives it as, even if he gives the entire thing or Guru Dakshina, never talk about Chandogya Upanishad to him. If he does not have Shraddha, most important. Why? Because this upasana is more valuable than the entire earth laden with all its riches. And with this, the upasana stuti is over. Thus, Madhu Vidya and Surya upasana topics both are concluded here. So, in fact, Madhu Vidya also is Surya upasana only, if you remember. What is the difference between that and this? In Madhu Vidya, we took part by part. And in Surya Upasana, we took the Surya as a whole for Upasana. Now let us go to the next Upasana, section 12. Gayatri va idagum sarvam bhutam yadidam kincha vagvai gayatri vagva idagum sarvam bhutam gayati chatrayate cha yavaisa gayatri Iyam va vasa, yeyam prithivi, asyagum hidagum sarvam, bhutam pratishtitam, eta meva na atishiyate, ya vaisa prithivi, iyam va vasa, yedidam asmin purushe shariram, asmin hi ime prana pratishtitaha, eta deva na atishiyante, yadvaitat purushe shariram, idam va vatate yadidam asmin antah purushe hridayam asmin hi ime prana pratishtitaha etadevana atishiyante saisha chatushpada shadvidya gayatri tate tatricha abhyanuktam. Now we are getting another type of upasana, which is brahma rupena gayatri upasana. Called Brahma Rupena Gayatri Upasana. Brahma here represents not Veda, Sachidananda Brahma Rupena Gayatri Upasana. And Shankaracharya says in his introduction, even though Brahman is a matter to be understood, everyone is not qualified to understand Brahman, because Brahman in its original form is never an object of Upasana. There is no such thing called Brahma Upasana. Because for Upasana, one requires a Upasya Vastu. And Upasyam should be different from the Upasaka. Whereas in Saguna field, there is Dvaitam. Upasya, Upasaka, Dvaitam is there, that exists in Saguna Upasana. Whereas in Nirguna Brahma, there is no Dvaitam at all. Avyavaharyam, Agrahyam, Alakshanam, Achintyam, Avyapadeshyam. We have seen all that. And since there is no Dvaitam in Brahman, Upasya, Upasaka, Beda is not there. So there is no Upasana. Therefore, what is possible then? Advaitam Brahma is a matter of owning up as Aham Brahma Asmi. It is not for meditation, but for understanding Aham Brahma Asmi. And that is why when Nirgunam Brahma is talked about, the Upanishad does not introduce a new thing. What it does? It goes on negating everything. Nothing new is introduced. Yam neti neti vachanaihi nigama avochan. Do you see Rama or Upasid as a Upasid Devata? Then that is also not Brahman. Nedam yeditam upasyate. Because it is an object. Do you see Krishna as an object? Do you see sun as an object? Do you see your own body as an object? Even Brahman concept is also not Brahman. Brahman concept is also not Brahman. Therefore, there is no Brahma Upasana. But only Brahma Rupena Avastham. But what happens? These people find it very difficult. Because, why? One, our mind is used to always see something, objectify something. Every word I say, you try to see it or imagine it. Thus, objectification is our natural orientation. So, when the Upanishad talks about Brahman also, we try to do the same thing. We try to see it outside and we find there is nothing. Then we see it inside. Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, all these various koshas. And I say, sometimes I say, oh, I see some light, Jyoti I see. And exactly in the Ajna Chakrasthane, you know, all these things people say, in the Ajna Chakrasthanam I see a Jyoti, some light. Remember, he misunderstands that as Brahman, but the fact is, that is also not Brahman. Why? Being an object of experience. If you say you see a jyoti, it is an object of experience. Therefore, our orientation cannot be easily dropped. We want something to imagine, something to conceive, something to objectify. Therefore, to such immature students, the Upanishad, it suggests a method. Therefore, it says, invoke Brahman in some object. Brahmanaha adhyaropaha. Brahman is superimposed, which is called avahanam or invocation. Asmin kalashe so and so adhyayami avahayami. We are saying all that. Once you invoke all these devatas in whatever it is, then all other things follow. Once you invoke some devata in that kalasam, then you do avahanam, padyam, argyam, achamanam, all those shodasa upacharas, you do all of them. That also becomes another kind of objectifying tendency only, even if you invoke Brahman in an object. So here the pratikam, we are familiar with the word pratikam, pratika upasana, a symbol on which Nirgunam Brahman is superimposed. And what symbol here? A saguna symbol on which Nirgunam Brahma is superimposed. A saguna Brahma, that's a symbol, pratikam. Very interesting. Really speaking, Saguna is superimposed on Nirguna. Now, for the sake of Upasana, we have reversed the whole process. We have taken Sagunam upon that, we superimpose Nirgunam Brahma, and after this process, Nirgunam Brahman is what? It is the Pratikam. If Omkara is Pratikam, I take Omkara as Nirgunam Brahma. Omkara is Sagunam only. But I imagine Omkara as Nirgunam Brahma. Similarly, there are so many upasanas. We call them Pratika Upasanani. In fact, all our temple worships are such pratika upasanas only. The Vishnu in Vishnu temple is the pratikam for Nirgunam Brahma. The Shiva in Shiva temple, Shivalinga, Ganesha, Rama, Krishna in all those temples are all pratikam for Nirgunam Brahman only. Nirguna, Nishkala, Nitya, Nirakara, Niranjana, Lalita Samskaram, Lalita Samskaram. So we have a clean lady form for Ambal, but the Archana is Nirguna. That is, I superimpose Nirguna on the Saguna Devata. And for this Upasana, what is the Pratikam? Here it is Gayatri is Pratikam. What is Gayatri? It is not the Gayatri mantra. It is the Vedic meter called Gayatri, which we generally say in Sandhya Vandanam. Gayatri, Ushnik, Anushtup, Brihati, Pankti, Trishtup, Jagati, Chandamsi. These are all Vedic meters. In Sanskrit literature, there are so many meters. But there are different meters in Veda also. Meter is a tune or a particular pattern of arrangement of Veda mantras. Meter is called in Sanskrit Chandaha. And Gayatri is a particular type of meter. Then we use the word Gayatri. It is popularly understood as what? As a mantra. Gayatri mantra. Tatsa viturvare enyam bargo devasya dhimahi dhiyoyona prachodayat. So this is Gayatri mantra. But really speaking, Gayatri is not a name of a mantra, but here of a meter. And the mantra's name, actually in the Gayatri mantra, what we normally say, is also Gayatri mantra. It is called Savitri. Because Savita, Surya Devata, for the mantra, Savitri Devata. That is why we say Savitriya Rishihi, Vishwamitra Nishit, Vishwamitra Rishihi, Savitra Rishihi, Vishwamitra Nishit Gayatri Chandaha. Savita Devata. That is what we say during the Gayatri Japam. So the original name is Savitri Mantraha only and not Gayatri. Then why do we call it as Gayatri? Because even though this mantra is Savitri mantra, it is set in Gayatri meter. In fact, there are so many mantras in Gayatri meter. In fact, the Tatpurusha Gayatri is all given in the Mahanarayana Upanishad. Tatpurushaya vidmahe mahadevaya dhimahi tanno rudra prachodayat. Today is Pradosham. So at least we can say one Rudra Vakyam. Tat Purushaya Vidmahe Mahadevaya Dhimahi Tanno Rudra Prachodayat. Narayanaya Vidmahe Vasudevaya Dhimahi Tanno Vishnu Prachodayat. So upon this Gayatri Chandaha, Brahma Upasana is going to be done in this Upasana. Here the Gayatri mantra is taken in a different way for Upasana. Normally, it is supposed to be a mantra consisting of three lines of eight letters each. Tatsa viturvare enyam, one line with eight syllables. Bargo devasya dhimahi, second line with eight syllables. Dhiyoyona prachodaya ate, third line with eight syllables. And om bhuhu bhuvaha suvaha is not part of Gayatri mantra. Even though we recite it is added for japa purpose only. So only three lines. So it is called Tripada Gayatri. And each line has got eight letters. So total 24 letters in Gayatri meter. Chaturvigum satyakshara tripada shat kukshihi panchashirshopanayane viniyogaha. In Mahanarayana Upanishad, it is beautifully defined. Chaturvigum satyakshara, 24 letters, tripada shat kukshihi. So normal Gayatri is three lines of eight letters each, but in this particular context, Gayatri is taken differently. Not three lines of eight letters each, but four lines of six letters each. That is why in the fifth mantra, we find Saisha Chatushpada Shadvidha Gayatri. If you see the mantra, Saisha Chatushpada Shadvidya Gayatri. Therefore, we can say this Chatushpad Gayatri Upasana and not Tripad Gayatri Upasana. And why do we take Chatushpada Gayatri here and not Tripada Gayatri? Because in Gayatri, we are going to invoke what? We are going to invoke Brahman. And Brahman also is supposed to be Chatushpad Brahma. We just previous to Chandogya Upanishad, we concluded Mandukya Upanishad. And if you remember Mandukya Upanishad, there we said, Sarvagum Yetad Brahma, Ayamatma Brahma, that is the Mahavakyam from there, Ayamatma Brahma, Soyam Atma, Chatushpada, Chatushpada. That's what four padas. So please refer to Mandukya Upanishad lectures if our details are this mantra. I'm not going to go to the details now. So here, Chatushpad Brahma is invoked and invoked on Chatushpad Gayatri. And therefore, since Brahman is everything in this Upasana, we see Gayatri as everything. Gayatri va idagum sarvam. And we should remember, Gayatri is only a mantra. It is like our doing namaskaram in front of a Shivalinga and say, you are Sarvajnaha. We all know that it is only a stone, which cannot be even alpajnaha. It cannot be even jnaha, it cannot even have anything. It is a jadavastu. But we say like that because I have invoked the Lord in that stone. So when we say you, we may be looking at the stone, but stone in which the Lord is invoked. Imagination is that. It may be physically a stone. But my imagination is not a stone, but a stone in which the Lord is invoked. Similarly, Gayatri as Gayatri is finite only. But Gayatri in which Brahman is invoked is Brahman itself. So we say Gayatri va idagum sarvam. So this is one type of upasana. So sarvatmika rupena Gayatri upasana. So meditating on Gayatri as sarvatmakam Brahma. Now the second part of meditation is also given here, which is described in the four mantras. In the four mantras, Brahman is supposed to be the supporter of the whole universe. And similarly, the Chatushpad Gayatri also is supporter of the, is compared and it's supporter of the whole universe. That's what it's supposed to be. So being compared to Brahman, it supports the entire universe. So each pada of six letters is supposed to be, supposed to support the whole universe. And for this purpose, the Upanishad conceives an idea. Each pada as one item. And in that particular form, Gayatri supports. So what are the four forms? The first one is called Vagrupena. One pada is compared to Vagrupena, speech. And the second part is Prithivi Rupena, earth. Third part is Sharira Rupam, the body. And fourth is Hridaya Rupam, the Hridayam, the heart. So in this manner, the Chatushpad Gayatri protects the whole universe as Vagrupena, Prithivi Rupena, Sharira Rupena, and Hridaya Rupena. Then question will be, why have we chosen these four items only? It would have been some other items also. The reason also is given. Vak is supposed to be the supporter of all. How? Speech. In the form of speech, we support many people, many things. Shankaracharya writes, when we console someone in sorrow, the moral support is given by nice consoling words. Mahabhai, don't worry, don't be afraid. I am there for you. Then the person says, after talking to you, my burden is gone. Many times. This person did not do anything. He just only listened to him and said, don't worry, I am there. God is there. He is happy. Only few words. The mother protects the child through words. Father, the Lord, the Guru, all of them protect through words only. Therefore, Vak Sarvan Rakshati. It gives support and therefore, that is considered to be the manifestation of Gayatri, Vagrupa Gayatri. And that is the reason given. And Gayatri gets the name also, Ganat Tranat Gayatri. Ganat refers to in the form of speech. And through speech, what does she do? Tranam. Trananam means the one, the protection, the one who supports, that is given. So, Vagrupena Gayatri Jagadaha Pratishtha. And what is the second one? Prithivi Rupena Gayatri Jagadaha Pratishtha. We know earth is the supporter of all plants, animals, humankind, all of them. And this Gayatri also, Prithivi Rupena. And the third is Sharira Bhuta. We know that the body supports all our indriyas, our organs, food, nourishment, vayu, prana vayu, prana shakti, all supported by this physical body. And so the third aspect of Gayatri is Shariram, the body, which is a supporter of everything. And here we can also see the development, both at the macrocosmic level and microcosmic level also. Adi Bhautika Drishtya, Adhyatmika Drishtya cha. Finally, Hridayam is supposed to be another aspect of Gayatri, because Hridayam also supports the Antakaranam, the inner equipments, the pranas, pancha pranas. According to Shastra, during Sushupti, during deep sleep, all our organs are supposed to resolve in the heart, in the Hridayam. So Hridayam is the fourth support. So what are the supports now? Gayatri, Vag Rupena, Prithivi Rupena, Sharir Rupena, Hridaya Rupena cha, Chadushpat Bhavati. And this Chadushpat Gayatri is the supporter of whole creation. Brahman also is the support of the whole creation. Therefore, one should invoke the Brahman in the Chadushpat Gayatri and do Upasana. So that is the Upasana. This is called Chadushpat Gayatri Rupena Brahma Upasana. Okay. So this is the essence of the mantras up to the fifth mantra. Now let us read further. So now glorifying the Gayatri Vakyam, Gayatri Vakyam Brahma, a Rigveda mantra is quoted here. Tadedat Richa Abhyanuktam, the last words of mantra 5. That is the Rigveda mantra quotation that is given in the sixth mantra that we will read. Tavanasya mahima tato jayagascha purushaha padosya sarva bhutani tripadasya amritam diviti. Looks somewhat familiar to some people perhaps. This mantra might appear familiar from the Purusha Suktam. There is a slight difference only. Instead of tavan, that is etavanasya mahima tato jayagascha purushaha. Padose Vishwabhutani, here it is Sarvabhutani. There it is Padose Vishwabhutani, here it is Sarvabhutani. So this is the glorification of Gayatri, but not as Gayatri, but as Brahman. So Gayatriakya Brahmana Stutihi, the glorification of Gayatri as Brahman. Okay, what is the glory of Brahman? Tavan asya mahima, tavan, all the visible and invisible world indicated by etavan asya mahima in Purusha Suktam, here is tavan. So in short, the entire creation is the glory of Brahman. Actually, 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, yajyad vibhuti mat sattvam, srimad urjitam evavam, tatta devavagachatvam, mamatejomsa sambhavam. 41st shloka, 10th chapter. So whatever glory you experience anywhere, even in the farthest star or in the invisible worlds like the Swargaloka and all, that up to Brahma Loka Paryantam, all are my glories only, the Lord says. The Upanishad then asks the question, is the glory of the whole universe is the only glory of the Lord, or is there more? The Upanishad says, the whole glory in the form of creation is only Saguna Mahima of Brahman. All the 14 lokas are Sagunam. All the glory we experience are all Sagunam. Niagara Falls, Himalayas, Grand Canyon, even the moon, farthest stars, galaxies. If any of them are experienced, they are all limited glory. They are all Saguna Mahima, not the total at all. So other than this, there is another glory, the invisible glory, as Shabdam, as Parsham, a rupam, a rasam, a gandam. So nirguna nirvikalpa mahima. And what is that? The nirgunam Brahma. So Brahman has got two types of glories. One is saguna mahima and nirguna mahima. So between the two now, which is superior? We generally like to vote for saguna only. Why? We can hear wonderful music, wonderful forms appear, beauty, taste, sound, soft touch, beautiful fragrance, all those things we like it. But Vedanta says, Saguna Mahima cannot be really glorious because it is, number one, anityam. Number two, it is mithya. It is subject to change. And number three, it is dukkha hetuhu. Whereas Nirguna Mahima is nityam. It doesn't change. And it is not dukkha hetu also. Therefore, the Upanishad says, ato jayagascha purushaha. Jayaya means superior. Superior to what? Superior to Saguna Mahima. Is Nirguna Mahima. That is of the Lord. Okay. So, having talked about the quality-wise superiority between Saguna Brahma and Nirguna Brahma, now quantity-wise also, Nirgunam is far superior. Because Upanishad says, Sarva Bhutani. If we take all the beings of the world, things and beings, they can occupy what? Asya Padaha, only one quarter of this entire Brahman, or one part of total Nirgunam Brahma alone. So all Saguna Mahima put together is only one infinitesimal part of Brahman. Whereas Tripad Asya, the other three quarters, is Amritam, is Nirgunam Brahma, Amritam. Amritam means here Nirgunam. Because Sagunam is always Mritam only, it will go away. And where it is available? This one, Divi. Divi literally means heavens, but in this context it is not heavens because heaven is also will, you know, fall within what? Saguna only. So here Divi refers to beyond the perceptible world, beyond the Sagunam. And here also, incidentally, a Vedantic point should be remembered, because in this shloka it is said one quarter of Brahman is Sagunam and another part is Nirgunam. Therefore, it looks as though Brahman has two parts. One Saguna part, another Nirgunam part. That is how actually Vidishtha Dvaitins, that philosophy looks at it. One part is superior and Visishtam world becomes the other part. So, the Advaitin doesn't accept this particular concept approach because Brahman cannot have parts at all. So, here parts should not be taken literally as parts because Brahman is partless. So, Niramsham, Niravayavam. So, then why the Upanishad uses the word part and confuses all of us? The answer Vedantin gives is, it is only to indicate that the whole world is finite and Brahman is infinite. Therefore, amshaha iva amshaha, natum yatartaha amshaha. The whole saguna prapancha world is mithya and nirguna Brahman is the only satyavastu. Mithya cannot be part of satyam, only superimposed on satyam Brahman. So, this shloka should not be taken literally. It is only to point out satya mithyatvam. Mithya is inferior. It is finite. Satyam is superior. It is infinite. And it is such Brahman that is invoked in Gayatri, and Gayatri Upasana is done. And the Upanishad concludes iti. Iti means it indicates the ending of the Rigveda quotation. I mentioned at the beginning, it quotes the Rigveda mantra and it indicates the ending of the Rigveda quotation. Continuing, Yadvaitat Brahma iti damva vatate yoyam bahirdha purushada kashaha yovaisa bahirdha purushada kashaha ayam vavasayaha yoyamanta purusha akasha yovaisaha antapurusha akashaha ayam vavasaha yoyamantar hridaya akashaha tadetat purnamapravarti purnamapravartini gumsiyam labate yayevam veda iti dvadasha khandaha. So this is also part of the Gayatri Upasana. With this, the 12th section ends. But it is to point out the location of the Upasana. Where should this Upasana be practiced? And the Upanishad points out the heart, Hridayam, is the location for this Upasana. And for this, a kind of logic is also given. If you remember the facts that we have discussed many times in several of our Vedanta lectures, Brahman is the supporter of the whole universe. And the universe is divided into three types. The sthula prapancha, sukshma prapancha and the karana prapancha. I am only using these words just to refresh. I am not going to define any of them. When the sthula prapancha is supported by Brahman, it is called what? It is called Virat. And the same Brahman as the supported by sukshma prapancha, supported by the sukshma prapancha, it is called Hiranyagarbha. And of karana prapancha, it is called Ishvara. So, we know at the time of pralaya, the whole sthula prapancha resolves into sukshma prapancha, which in turn resolves into karana prapancha. So, vyaktad avyaktayaha and avyaktad vyaktayaha sarvaha. Therefore, Virat resolves into Hiranyagarbha, Hiranyagarbha into Ishvara, and in Ishvara, the whole creation is there. In what form? In karana form, in unmanifest form. And during Srishti, the whole creation comes to manifestation. So, this is the prakriya. This all we know. Now, to understand this, the whole thing is studied at the individual level also. Because we cannot experience pralaya kalam. We won't be there during pralayam. We don't know when pralayam comes, number one. And when it comes also, all our bodies would be already dissolved. Therefore, we won't be there to experience the pralayam. So, we need a model to understand the pralayam. Generally, the three avasthas are taken as the model. What are the three avasthas? The jagrat avastha, the waking state, the swapna avastha, dream state, and the sushupti avastha, the deep sleep state. So, how it works? In jagrat avastha, the whole sthula prapancha is experienced, the gross universe. That means Virat is experienced by us. And during swapna avastha, what happens? As far as we are concerned, the whole sthula prapancha is resolved for a dreamer. We are not talking about actual resolution, understand? That happens only during pralaya. But every day when we sleep, when you get into dream, the sthula prapancha is resolved. And swapna prapancha only available, which represents Hiranyagarbha. So, Virat is resolved and we experience Hiranyagarbha now as the supporter of the sukshma prapancha, that is dream. Then what happens? In Sushupti, not only the sthula prapancha and sukshma prapanchas are resolved and experience the karana prapancha. That is, we experience Ishvara during Sushupti. So, for experiencing Ishvara, we need not wait for the pralayam to resolve the whole world. We experience it every day. Sometimes during the class also, perhaps. It is already 9:30 about. So, what is the proof? When we wake up, the whole world again comes from that thing at all again. Therefore, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Aharaha Brahmagamayati. Every day a person goes to Ishvara and come back. But what we pray every day? Oh Ishvara, take me. We go to him every day and come back. Okay. And these types of Brahman are compared to three types of Akasha. That is, Virat Rupam Brahma, Hiranyagarbha Rupam Brahma, and Ishvara Rupam Brahma. They are compared. So, three types of Akasha, namely Bahir Akasha, the external space. Second one is Sharira Akasha, the space conditioned by the Shariram, the body. And third, Hridaya Akasha. And according to Shastra, the entire Sthula Prapancha, Sthula Jagrat Prapancha, is supported by Bahir Akasha. So, it is compared to Virat. See how the thing is? So, Jagrat Sthula Prapancha, Jagrat Prapancha, supported by external Akasha. So, that is supposed compared to Virat. And Swapna Prapancha, being inside, is supported by Sharira Akasha. So, Hiranyagarbha supports it. So, Sharira Akasha and Hiranyagarbha are identified. And during Sushupti, according to Shastra, all our instruments, including the mind, are resolved in where? In Hridayam. Therefore, Karana Prapancha is where? Hridaya Akashe Karana Prapanchaha Vartate. So, it is defined identified with Ishvara, since Ishvara supports Karana Prapancha. Therefore, Virat is equated to Bahira Akasha, Hiranyagarbha is equated to Sharira Akasha, and Ishvara is equated to Hridaya Akasha. Okay. And of these three, which we should meditate upon? That is the next question. Shankaracharya says, of these three, Ishvara alone is Shuddha. Because there is Dukkha Mishratvam is not there in Ishvara. That is, it is unalloyed Sukham. There is no Dukkham. Unlike Bahirakasha, external, and Sharirakasha, they are always mixed with Dukkham. Because we experience Sukham and Dukkham in the other two, both in Jagradavastha and in Swapnavastha, we experience both. But in Sushupti, it is Shuddha Ananda. Therefore, that Ishvara, who is the supporter of the whole universe, who is Ananda, that should be meditated where? Hridaye, in the Hridaye. Because within the heart alone, Hridaye Akasha Rupena or Dharakasha Rupena. Dhara Vidya is one section in Mahanarana Upanishad. Dharakasha Rupena, Ishwaraha Kutra Vartate, Hridaye Vartate. In Bhagavad Gita also we saw, Ishwara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. And therefore it is said, Yadvaitad Brahma, Itidam Vavatate, Yoyam Bahirda Purushada Akashaha. But Brahman alone is Virat Rupena Bahirakashaha, and Brahman alone is Hiranyagarbha Rupena Sharirakashaha, and Brahman alone is Ishvara Rupena Hridayakashaha. Therefore, do Gayatri Upasana in the Hridayam every day. When Gayatri is chanted, Tatsa Viturvarehenyam Pargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyogyona Prachodayaate, that Gayatri is none other than Brahman, which is the support of the whole universe. And lastly, there is one more point also there, namely the Palashruti. The Upanishad says, even though Ishvara is within the heart is of a fixed size, then we may think that Ishvara is a limited entity because in the heart. Therefore, the Upanishad says, no, Ishvara is all-pervading, but he obtains in the Hridayam just as electricity is all over the wire, but we can tap from the plug point alone. Thus, Hridayaha is upalabdhi sthanam. It is the place of availability. Really speaking, Ishvara is all-pervading. That is why the Upanishad says, Purnam apravarti. Purnam is always all-pervading. The whole, full, complete. What? The Hridaya Akasha Rupam Brahma is complete. The Brahman which is in the form of Hridaya Akasham is not limited, but it is all-pervading. Not only that, it is apravarti, it is nityam, nasharahitam. Literally, it is changeless. And what is the palam? Purnam apravartinim shriyam labate. The person who does the upasana will get plenty of prosperity as a result of this upasana. Lot of wealth. The lot of wealth also, another rider is there, which is apravartini. Wealth has got a peculiar nature. What is it? In the way it comes, it goes away also. But here the Upanishad says, it is a peculiar type of wealth. What type of wealth it is? Which will come, but it will not go away. Therefore, nityam prosperity, permanent prosperity, is the ihaloka phalam. And what is the paraloka phalam? Is karma mukti. The person goes to, after maranam, he goes to brahmaloka again and get karma mukti. So, Brahmaloka Praptihi, and then he will get moksha also from there. So, this portion is often quoted by Shankaracharya to point out the Hridaya Akasha that is mentioned in several places in the Upanishad. In Shastra, throughout, Hridaya Akasha is quoted. But the details are given only in this portion of Chandogya Upanishad. Even in the Upanishad, Yo Vedanihi Tamguhayam Paramevyo Man, in Taittiriya Upanishad also, Shankaracharya quotes this portion only, and so this portion is important because it talks about Hridaya Akasham as Brahman. With this we will perhaps stop here and continue in the next webinar. Yo vedadav swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwarah. Sri Krishna arpanamastu Narayana.